and gentlemen, good afternoon. Welcome to Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited's Q1 FY25 earnings webcast produced by Dickinson. As a reminder, please click on the Zoom link to enter the interactive audio Q&A session. Kindly ensure you mute this page as you enter the Zoom platform. Please enter your firm's name or individual investor along with your name as you join the Zoom session. You can also post questions in writing on this webcast page. Please note that this conference is being recorded and that some statements in this call may be forward-looking, based on current expectations and subject to risks that could cause results to differ materially. You can download Shivalik's investor presentation and press release from the downloads box on the bottom right-hand side of the page. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajiv Ranjan, CFO of the company, for opening remarks. Thank you. Over to you, Rajiv.
Thank you very much, Anthony. And thank you all for joining us today for Shivalik Bimetal Controls Limited Quarter 1 Financial Year 25 Earnings Webcast. I am Rajiv Ranjan, the Chief Financial Officer, and I am glad to present to you the financial performance and key highlights of our first quarter for the fiscal year 2025. With me present today are members of the management, Mr. Sumer Ghumman, promoter of SVCL, Mr. Kanav Anand, head of marketing and sales, SVCL. Before we delve into the details, I would like to extend a warm welcome to all our participants and stakeholders. Beginning with our financial performance, our Q1 FY25 performance reflects both the challenges and opportunities we encountered in the global market. Despite a 5.18% decrease in total income to ₹107.22 crore, down from ₹113.07 crore in Q1 FY24. Our strategic focus on volume growth remaining strong. In volume terms, our business grew by 8.58% year over year, increasing from 548 metric ton in Q1 FY24 to 595 metric ton in Q1 FY25. Looking at our profitability, we experienced a marginal decline in our profit before tax by 18.75% to ₹21.75 crore for the quarter, with PBT as a percentage of sales coming down by 339 basis points to 20.29%. This was primarily because of product mix change, which resulted into increase in our cost of goods sold. Similarly, our profit after tax eased marginally by 19.41% to still give us a whole sum of ₹16.30 crore for the quarter. Looking deeper into this quarter in terms of segment and regional performance, Q1 FY25 delivered a strong growth in our shunt resistor sales across all other regions, mainly Asia, Europe and India, which helped mitigate a 45% decline in sales year-on-year from the USA. In Europe, sales grew by 134.40% of a modest base, reaching ₹8.04 crore compared to ₹3.43 crore in the same period last year. This substantial increase underscores our successful market penetration and the growing demand for our high-quality shunts in this region. As Europe electrification momentum strengthens, this will only keep improving. In Asia, excluding India, we recorded a significant growth of 37.02%, with sales rising to 17.03 crore from a small base of rupees 10.20 crore in Q1 FY24. This is the result of our growing OEM and channel approval base and wider acceptance of our products, all of which are taking root for sustained and growing business from this region. In India, our home market continued to show a steady growth with an increase of 11.34% in sales to rupees 11.26 crore from rupees 10.11 crore in Q1 FY24. Our dominant market share position in India will hold well for us in India as domestic demand keeps rising in line with economic growth. We expect India to become a key market for us over the next 3 years. In Americas, despite the gains in other regions, sales in USA dropped by 44.76% from rupees 29.22 crore to rupees 16.14 crore. This is due to a slowdown in USA economy, turning consumers and manufacturers cautious, and a temporary lull in the automotive marketplace where consumers are playing a wait-and-watch game. As we move forward, our focus remains on enhancing cost management strategies to optimize operational efficiencies and manage input costs effectively. Our commitment to research and development is pivotal to our success as we specialize in niche and critical products that require technical expertise such as smart meters, battery management system, and electrification solutions. We are also investing in automation and technological advancements to improve our manufacturing processes and deliver value to our clients. Our strategic market diversification and expansion efforts are beginning to bear fruit, particularly in regions like Europe and Asia. We are optimistic about a gradual recovery in the USA and remain committed to drive sustainable growth across all our markets. In conclusion, despite the market environment being a mixed bag internationally, Shivalik has demonstrated resilience despite a complex global market. Our Q1 FY25 performance has underscored due to a suppressed metal market and North American muted growth. We thank you for your continued support and confidence in our vision. I now invite you to join us for the question answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, please click on the Zoom link to enter the interactive audio Q&A session. Kindly ensure you mute this page as you enter Zoom. Kindly raise your hand on Zoom to join the question queue. You can also post questions in writing on this webcast page. To join the queue on Zoom, kindly raise your hand. Instructions on how to do so are in the community chat. We will wait a few minutes for the question queue to form. Our first question is from the line of Utsav Adani from Oaklane Capital. In the bimetal segment, specifically the motor segment, are you seeing customers moving to microprocessor-based smart relays from the current thermal bimetallic relays? Also, what percentage of your sales in the bimetal segment would come from this segment?
Shankari, can you just repeat that question again for me?
Sure.
second part of it?
This, because I missed the second part of it. So if you can just repeat the whole question, it will be easier for me to respond to.
Sure. In the bimetal segment, specifically in the motor segment, are you seeing customers moving to microprocessor-based smart relays from the current thermal bimetallic relays? Also, what percentage of your sales in the bimetal segment would come from this segment?
Overall, I think the bimetal business constitutes about 51% of the total sales. In terms of the motor, I think what the investor wants to know is about the percentage of the motor starter of the total bimetal sale, which is probably less than 8 to 10% of our total bimetal sales. And we don't really foresee, and we are not seeing any movement of these mechanical relays going towards microprocessors at the moment. And so the demand for the bimetallic motor relays remains, I would say, the same as what we've been seeing in the past.
It doesn't add any value or bring any advantage to the company.
Our next question is from the line of Yoga Kshem from Bay Capital, India. The Q1 FY25 revenue dropped by nearly 5%, largely due to lower commodity prices. However, despite lower commodity prices, the cost of raw materials has increased in Q1 FY25 versus Q1 FY24. Could you please explain the reason behind this?
So basically, it's a valid question, but the main reason why you see that happening is because the product mix is also at this point different. So we have higher sales or higher growth in areas which have higher material consumption, and where we have faced in the last few quarters where we have faced a lower level of growth, those areas have a lower material consumption. So that is the reason why this difference is showing up.
And I'd like to add the second part of that question regarding the metal prices. You see, if any metal is increasing in that quarter, will have an impact in our pricing the next quarter, not in the same quarter.
A follow-up question. What is the reason behind inventory days increasing by 33 days in Q1 FY25?
In the last 2 months, if you see, the Red Sea disturbance causes some supply chain, based on which we have decided to uplift some material through air. And due to that, this quarter we have some accumulated inventory, which will be consumed in the next 2 quarters.
Thank you. Our next question will be from the line of Deepan Sankara Narayanan. Your line will now be unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So firstly, wanted to understand these two large domestic smart meter companies are talking about 10 to 20,000 crores kind of order book. But we have not seen such a stronger growth in domestic shunt business. So what is your view on domestic smart meter installation progress, and when do we expect strong shunt volumes growth in domestic market? Hello?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so the two players that you mentioned are basically, both these players were importing their latching relays, and the latching relays is where our product is used. Now, imports for latching relays over a period of time have become more expensive because of added duties, etc. And currently, they are in the process of starting manufacturing of these latching relays in India. And I would say between both of them, they are both at now at a stage where we are already supplying smaller quantities to them, either to them directly or to their relay manufacturer, whoever they have tied up with. And now in the coming quarters, we will see an impact of that happening. But as of now, of course, because since they were importing the relay, our part was not used in it because the entire relay was coming from China.
Okay, and what is your view on overall domestic smart meter installation growth progressing? Will it be, the growth will be completely back-ended towards FY 28 to 30, or initially also we see stronger growth in
The focus we are getting from customers is very, very, very strong, because of course if they are manufacturing the relays now here, they need to, you know, they've already started sharing forecasts about it. So we see a very strong growth coming from there. Now, obviously there is, you know, there are things like, because at the end of the day, it is a government driven thing. So it can have certain things beyond what we plan. We don't hope that it will happen. We don't see any reason why it should, but since it is a government driven thing, anything is possible, as you can imagine. So what we estimate though is that this 5-year period that that the government says that it will be installed in, we look at it more like a 10-year period. So we are basing our forecast, planning, etc. on the basis of a 10-year period.
Okay. So globally, this power deficit scenario is rising due to AI and huge data centers. So this has given strong switchgear demand for global requirements. So what is our growth outlook for domestic and exports in bimetal business?
Hi, Deepan. Very good question, I must say. Very well looked at. We are seeing globally the demand, as you rightly said, power deficit. The demand for power electrification is going to increase. Power distribution is increasing. All our customers and the applications we fall into is in the field of data centers and power distribution. And next 5 to 6 year outlook is very positive. And we have already started receiving those forecasts from our customers domestically as well as internationally.
Okay. And last from my side, so assuming this global slowdown on EV continuing for next 2 or 3 years, do we expect this hybrid segment can drive our volume growth to the similar levels? And hybrid content per car, is it same as per electric vehicle or lesser than that?
It can actually, in some cases, certain hybrid car designs can have even a bigger value of our products in it, because it is constantly moving from engine to battery, and that actually is where this battery management system becomes of key importance. So higher value add products are definitely more likely to be there in hybrid cars. And yes, to answer the first part of your question, we see a very positive opportunity with hybrids, even if the EV market doesn't grow as per what was originally intended. Hybrids certainly will. If you see the trend in the US, hybrids have been consistently going up, because the second or the third stage of EV buyers are now looking at multiple options. So we are at a very, you know, we are at a situation where the market could swing in any direction. In some countries, EVs have proven to be successful, and some countries, people are still leaning towards hybrids. So yes, we have an opportunity, a big opportunity with hybrids as well.
Okay, thanks a lot. I'll join back.
Thank you. Our next question is from Pradeep Rawat. Pradeep, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my question is regarding to the peak revenue potential. As you mentioned in your presentation, that our peak revenue potential is 1600 crore rupees. So would this peak revenue potential be based on the land that we have, or do and we have to do further capex for plant and machinery, or we have put plant and machinery in the place right now for the 1600 crore potential?
Everything is already in place other than incremental capex. So all the primary capex is already in place. Incremental capex of, let's say, you know, over a 5-year period of 5, 6, 7, 8 crores a year or something. Though that level of incremental capex. Other than that, to be able to reach peak revenue, we have already this already covers all of it, the capex.
Okay. And my other question is regarding our customer concentration. So can you provide a number for our top 5 customer revenue we generate from top 5 customers?
Yeah, so customer concentration is distributed in our case. But if you see, the top 10 customer constitutes almost 40% of our business.
And when was the most recent customer among these 10 customer was acquired?
Out of these 10, there are one or two belongs to registered business as acquired in the previous 2 years.
Yeah, and my last question is regarding our R&D. So how much investment do we put into R&D on an yearly basis, and what would be the trajectory going forward?
So see, being a technical company, R&D has two major component of expenditure. One is the human resource and second is the machinery. And we have heavily invested in machineries last year. So this year, the incremental cost highly dependent on the human resource increment and so on.
Okay, understood. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just a reminder to all participants, to join the interactive Zoom, kindly click on the link that is functional and updated. Our next question is from the line of Akash Vora. Akash, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Starting from the margin side, the EBITDA margins that we have done this quarter, around 18-19% odd. So this quarter, if we see on a volume level also, overall volumes were up by almost 9%, both shunt and bimetal combined. And both of them were pretty much even in terms of mix. I think shunt was around 48 and bimetal was around 52. So generally, when we have an even kind of a mix between the two, we generally do a good set of margins. But if we look at the gross margins this quarter, they were the lowest in the last 5-6 quarters, around 42%. Even sequentially, we have seen a dip of around half a percent here. So just wanted some color on, you know, when will we see margin recovery, because now even the shunt mix has come back. Yeah.
Yeah, so on the margin side, if you see in the last 5 quarters, and in fact in the last 3 quarters, it is on the similar line. And as we have examined and concluded that it is due to the product mix. Product mix constitutes not only the bimetal and shunt, it also constitutes the component variable and the strict variable. So if anything goes here and there in component and shunt, that will also cause a marginal up and down. In fact, the third element and the factor which should be considered for the margin control is the export and domestic business. So while we are doing more in export, and if you see in the last 5 quarters, our export is going down and down, whereas our domestic is going up. So these are the factors which is consistent, and in fact, Q4 and Q1, if you see, there is a slight improvement in our margin, gross margin. Like EBITDA margin has improved by almost 0.7%. And going forward, as our growth will constitute at least, will come the similar level as we were maintaining around 22-26%, and in fact when our growth CAGR will improve by 20% onwards, then there will be an additional margin included in it.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ajay Surya from Niveshaay. Our performance in shunt resistors in US has been constantly declining. In the past quarter, the management guided that they are seeing a bottomed out situation. However, performance continues to decline. Is it due to the slowdown in EV and rising acceptability of hybrid? Or is it the overall auto sales which is leading to this? Are we losing market share to other players? Would like to understand the situation in detail with regards to what is happening on the ground.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, please proceed. Okay.
So, yeah, when it comes to the volumes to North America, it is continuing to remain, I would say, stagnant and lull. Of course, the automotive segment has been, what we can see, where everybody can see that it is still on a decline. EVs as well as automotive segment in general has not really picked up since the last three quarters. But as we had mentioned last time also, that we are seeing signs of recovery already, and we are positive about the upcoming quarters, and North America is starting to showcase that FY25 is going to be strong for them.
Thank you. Our next
question. With regards to that second part, which regards to the competition, we haven't lost any opportunity or I would say customer from competition. It is just delays in the introduction of new models into the market, which is purely related to the market sentiment right now.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Utsav Adani from Oakland. Your line is now unmuted, Utsav. Please go ahead with your question. We will proceed with the next question. We will take the next question from...
Hello.
Yes.
I think my line got unmuted now. Hi. Yes, Thank you for the opportunity. So, continuing on the shunt side of the business, I wanted to understand how are we placed cost-wise with Chinese competitors, given it seems like China might be getting closer to winning the EV race. If you can share some light on the cost basis.
I think there are two very important aspects that one has to consider. One has to consider the price as well as the capacities. We have the world's largest capacities required to fulfill the demand that's going to come in. And of course, on the cost side, there are certain specialized applications where we are not really seeing at the moment too much Chinese competition. And that's where we feel that in certain areas of expertise, we kind of hold that technical advantage over our competition.
Understood. On the contacts business, can you share what is the end user industry split? For instance, I understand automotive and smart meters are the key. If you can share on the contact business, please.
In the contact business, almost all of the target market for the contact business is switchgear.
Okay. Understood. And can you share the capacity utilization across all three segments?
Sorry?
Can you share the capacity utilization for all three segments, shunts, bimetal, and contacts?
As of now, everything included is about 36, but if you look at it individually, it's about, shunt is at about 40-45%, bimetal is about 32-33%, and contacts is closer to 90%, but then we're moving to a new plant, creating capacity at the new plant, which should be operational by, I think, January next year. So then we will have that business will also come to about a capacity utilization of about 30%.
Understood. Sir, I made a request to the IR team to share some historical data on the contacts business. If you could share that across, that would be really helpful. And one small suggestion from my end, if you can add the context part of the business in the PPT that you share, because I understand going forward that can also be a large portion of a business. So that will help investors and analysts to look at the business well.
We will share whatever is required. And you're right, it can be a very big part of our business because it's a very large market size compared to our other product verticals. So although a lower value add product, but the market size, addressable market size is much larger.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aman Vich. Aman, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon, team. So I have questions on different segments. So let's start with Shan first. So could you talk about the reasons of strong growth in Europe and rest of Asia? Was it automotive shunt? Was it the other kind of shunts? Individually, if you can talk about the strong growth in Europe and rest of Asia.
In with Europe, our market penetration is improving. We are adding more strength in that market, in that region, which is giving us that additional ability to reach the end user, which is one of the reasons. B, on the Asia side, we are seeing a lot of recovery also from what we had lost in 2000. A lot of reduction in demand in 2022-23 volumes, where we started seeing a little bit of a reduction in the Asian market. But we are seeing that the EVs in Asian market is doing still strong, are still comparatively strong, and which is also resulting in strong demand for our products. And of course, as what we initially, Sumer was also mentioning, smart meters have started picking up for us, and that's why we are seeing demand for shunts coming in. So far, the market was busy setting up the supply chain required to meet the overall requirements, expectations of the installation required by these metering manufacturers. And we are seeing that effort gone in the last 1.5 years is started showing some numbers, which are going to further strengthen our position in the Asian market.
Sure. So if you have to broadly understand the growth or slash degrowth in the sub-segments in shunts, which is automotive and say the other smart meters, so what was it for Q1?
In terms of shunt, the automotive kind of contributed about 66% of our total revenue, which is down by about 13% from last year, and that's where purely because of the North American market. Energy meters have almost doubled. It's come to a close to almost 30% of our of the shunt revenue, which was about 14.5% last year. And then there are other miscellaneous applications.
Sure. We were expecting the scaling of some of the other big shunt players. Could you talk about that? Will they be contributing to Europe, or will they be also be a US contribution going forward?
The strength has been mostly in Europe, and to be honest, we have a very strong, I would say, market reach in North America, and so far we've been able to keep and carve out a very important niche for ourselves in that region. And it's just that the current dip in the demand in the automotive markets is not really giving us any fruits, but we are confident that 2025 numbers are going to start coming back. And something similar to what we had discussed in our last quarter results as well.
Sure. So just to summarize this shunt part first. So for the full year, do you expect our shunts growth to be like flattish or 5-10% growth or 5-10% degrowth for the full year?
We don't foresee a degrowth. We will in overall we'll see a 5-10%, 8-10% growth in our shunt business by the end of the year.
For the full year.
For the full year. Yes.
Sure. Coming to the bimetal part, so it was after many quarters there was a degrowth. So could you talk about it? Was it like one off, or do you think there is some inventory issues, or do we see the growth coming back from Q2?
There are two things. Bimetal degrowth, on terms of top line, is linked to, number one, is linked to, of course, the metal pricing, which we've already spoken about, and we mentioned also in our release. The other reason is, of course, there's a little muted growth in quarter one for us for the domestic market, purely because we all know that we went through general elections in India, and during that time, the industry kind of goes on a standstill. But as I said, that the next 5-year horizon from all domestic players are very exciting and promising for us in this field. Whether because all this is linked to AI, linked to data centers, linked to infrastructure growth, the 70+75 smart cities, airports coming in, all that is going to kind of increase demand for electrical appliance, electrical equipments, which is where our products are going to go in.
Thank you, Aman. Please raise your hand again to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Karan Cocaine from PGIM India. What is the revenue growth and EBITDA margin guidance for FY25?
So, for revenue growth, it is in the range of 8-12% for the whole year, FY25. And for the EBITDA, which will be in the range of 22-24% for FY25.
Thank you. Our next question will be from the line of Richa Agarwal. Richa, your line is now unmuted. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is, you shared some kind of breakup for shunt resistors. Could you talk about, you know, apart from the Indian market, with elections and all, what is happening in the other market, and why was there a decline in, you know, rest of Asia as well, and the outlook for bimetal segment itself for this year?
Could you please repeat your question, because I think I got a little confused with your question. Can you just repeat your question again?
Yeah, so my question is on the bimetal segment. This quarter, year on year, we saw a decline of around 43% in rest of Asia, and Europe also 20% decline. India and America was flat, but could you just help us understand the reasons for decline in these markets, and what kind of guidance would you like to share in this particular segment for this year?
I think Europe, we all knew, and in the last time also we had mentioned that the European markets are in a recessionary trend, and that's why the numbers have been low. But looking at our second quarter numbers, we are already seeing that whether it's North America or whether it's Europe, both have started picking up. So for us, as I said, by the end of the year, our numbers are going to, the overall revenue is going to be higher than the previous year.
Okay, and sir, you had announced an MAU with the MOU with Metaller. So, you know, any kind of update on what's happening on that front?
So we are moving forward with that. We haven't announced it yet because it's still something that you know, we are working on the numbers with Metaller. But basically, Metaller's parent company, or the Metaller's board, basically has approved this process, which means that the due diligence process that was going on, that got concluded last month, has all gone through successfully. Now, we will be working on when do we actually turn this into a joint venture and what all does it bring to the table. So, these timelines, you know, at this point it's difficult to put, but yes, something will materialize in the coming 2 to 3 months. In fact, even before that.
Okay. And
just adding one more point. You see, earlier at some point during this call, I had mentioned that we are building a new facility for the contact business. So there's a possibility that it may get timed alongside that, which is going to be ready in a few months also.
But that is independent of this JV, right?
No, it's not. So the
expansion.
That is anyway, that part is anyway being done. That is irrespective of the JV. But
yeah,
the two things might get timed together, coincidentally.
Okay. And sir, one more question. Are your margins different in domestic as well as versus export markets? Like, if the mix changes more towards domestic, is there likely to be some kind of dilution because of that?
Yes, as far as Barnettle and Sant is concerned, so in that case, if we are selling in the domestic market compared to the export, there will be a comparatively marginally less than the export market.
Okay, so I mean, what you're saying is that it's product based, not geography based. So, is that understanding correct? Or within the same product also, like within bimetals, if you sell in India versus abroad, no, exports?
No, as what Rajiv was mentioning, there is a difference. Of course, exports bring in the larger revenue margin for us, but it's a very marginal difference.
Okay. And sir, I think last quarter you had booked some PLI component in other income. So could you just specify what that was, if it was there this year as well, and what it is likely to look like for the entire year?
Yeah, so this year also there will be a PLI in other income. In fact, to claim the PLI, we need to comply with two additional obligations, which is underway. And that will be calculated based on our production or our revenue in the year ended FY25. So currently, if I say based on the obligation, it would be not less than 3 crore.
Thank you, Richa. Request you to please raise your hand again to rejoin the queue. Our next question will be from the line of Prathamesh Dahake. Prathamesh, you can now unmute yourself. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible.
Yes,
yes,
we can hear you.
Hi, my question is regarding bimetals. So if we were to look at sector-wise breakup in the bimetals business, how would it look like? And within India, who are our major customers? I mean, like India business in bimetals was affected due to elections, but shunt wasn't. So why is there an anomaly in the same? And the same is applicable to Europe business, which got affected due to recession for bimetals, but shunt resistors was not. So why are we seeing an anomaly there?
See, in switchgear, what you see, a lot of the business goes through tender base and everything. A lot of tenders get stopped during the elections. However, when it comes to shunt, the most of the smart meter business tenders are already out signed and they already in the process of fulfilling those contracts. So there are different stages of the tendering process. Secondly, when it comes to the application wise, if you look at the bifurcation of bimetal business, about 79 to 80% comes from our switchgear applications. 8.5% is gas meters, and about 8.5% comes from automotive applications.
Thank you. Our next question is from India Capital. Can you give a detailed perspective on the overall competitive scenario, especially in the global context? Firstly, on shunts, what kind of competition do you face in global markets? Is there competition on pricing at all, or is it primarily about differentiated technical capabilities? Similarly, on bimetals, if you can share some perspective, please.
I would start with shunts. With shunts, we, as I said, we are one of the largest in the world. So a lot of capacity that has been installed in this growing demand for our products, both in the field of smart metering as well as in the field of automotive electronics, is an important constituent for a customer. So it is not just alone price and technical capabilities, but also the ability to deliver in time, and the ability to deliver long-term contracts has also becomes a very important aspect. Secondly, of course, differentiating in terms of technology becomes key to be able to maintain or increase your margins. And we like to remain on top of that side of the business. And we continue to kind of enjoy that ability with our customers to be considered as a reliable long-term engineering partner for them. And we focus not just only providing them components, but basically providing them solutions. And in terms of biometal, I think biometals is a very interesting scenario, because we're going to see a lot of growth coming into the biometals from the local market, because we are seeing that India's demand for electricity is going to be about 3.5 times by 2050, which results in increase in demand of power generation, which leads in power distribution. And at the moment, at present, we are one of the only manufacturers in this location, providing the opportunity to most of these customers make in India products, which of course also adds value in terms of them to getting contracts and tenders from the government, because government is also in kind of pushing towards more of make in India opportunity. And that's where I think as of now, we kind of going to gain a lot of momentum domestically. And internationally, as we said, we have kind of increased our presence in Europe. We have our own team there. We are pushing our local presence to become more and more global. A lot of global companies based out of India are pushing us to supply the same components to their global locations, both in Europe and in North America and other parts of the world.
Thank you. Our next question will be from the line of Divyansh Gupta. Divyansh, your line is now unmuted. Please go ahead.
A couple of questions with respect to the pricing and the margins. So if I see shunts and bimetal, both the realizations for both of them have gone up. And you had mentioned that we had shifted to, our product mix got shifted to, let's say, a lower margin product. So how does it work that the realization is higher, but yet the margins are lower?
There are two things. On the bimetal side, you will see that the most of the impact is due to the top revenue is affected by the metal index. So in terms of the bottom line, you will see on the bimetal, it's more or less consistent. The shunt kind of moves from various industries, from automotive to metering. Metering, again, as we said, geographically being in India and the kind of volume that you're talking about, it's a lot more competitive product as you're competing with China and other applications as compared to automotive, where it is a more highly technical global product competing with international players. So the revenue mix will kind of vary with the product mix that you will be actually supplying these products into.
Got it. So if I matlab, also just to build on to it, so bimetals are basically a pass through, whereas shunt is not that much of a pass through kind of product offering from Shivalik. Is it a fair statement?
No, it's a pass through. When we say pass through is entirely the commodity prices. Then there is a fabrication cost, which is called the manufacturing cost in our pricing. So while saying so, compared to the bimetal, which is established for so many years, does not have any major implication while we are shifting product to product mix.
But in terms of the margins.
In terms of the margins. But in shunt. In shunt, there are two major segments. One is the automotive, another one is the smart meter. So in automotive, we are having an ace to gain more margin. Whereas in smart meter, the product is competitive. If you see, the Chinese competition is there. So whenever we are selling more in energy meter segment, the margin will be lesser compared to if you are having a bucket where you are selling
more into automotive and electronic applications. Because that's where you're offering more in terms of technology and less in terms of components.
Got it. Understood. Understood. The second question was that of the inventory days that we have mentioned, right, around 190 days, how much of it is, let's say, finished good item and how much is, let's say, WIP or effectively raw material of copper and nickel? If you can give a sense, the basic underlying question is that removing finished goods, which are, let's say, SKU dependent, how much of raw material inventory days are we carrying, typically carrying?
Yeah, so in normal substance, it is somehow 4 to 5 months of the raw material. But as I said, due to disruption in supply chain and sensing those things and considering these, we have uplifted some of the material in the month of June itself, which has increased this raw material holding period up to 27 to 28 days.
Oh, but it was also 180 previous quarter. Right? So I'm just trying to understand the finished goods which might not have gotten shipped out, or copper or nickel, how much we carry.
We are increasing our revenue year on year, and our consumption or requirement of raw material is also increasing year on year, based on which our raw material days, which is consistent for the last so many years in between 5 to 6 months, which will continue in such type of business till we are not developing someone as a domestic supplier.
And are we working on, let's say, doing it, or it's basically OE drives that buy from this vendor because he meets our quality norms?
It's a work in progress, I would say that.
Got it. Understood. Yes. Understood. The next question is that for the capacity that we have created plus maintenance capex, we have given a guidance that this capacity can give 1600 crores of revenue. But that would also assume certain raw material pricing and certain mix. Now, mix might be something which is not in our control, and similarly pricing of raw material. Let's say current raw material prices prevail. Do you see the 1600 crores coming down, or 1600 crore will still is still possible?
See, if the commodity prices are they're variable, so it can change. There can be an impact of doing that. The better way of looking at it is the value add, which we don't see changing. So irrespective of suppose, for example, commodities like nickel and copper are three times in value 5 years from now, then this number will look very different. You know, so it's actually the value add and the gross margins, etc., which indicate a much better, give a much better idea about the business.
Thank you. Request you to please raise your hand again to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Solidarity Investments. Can a sizable opportunity for shunt resistors for gas or water meters emerge over time?
Shankari, you're not very clear. Can you come back?
Sure. Can a sizable opportunity for shunt resistors for gas or water meters emerge over time?
Gas or water meters? As of now, we don't really see any application for shunt resistors in gas or water meters. Our biometals definitely go. They're used to measure the consumption of gas, but not the shunts.
Thank you. Our next question will be from the line of Pradeep Rawat. Pradeep, your line is now unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. So I have one basic question. So how much more in value terms does shunts are used in EV from ICE vehicle and similarly to in hybrid against the ICE automotive?
There's no general answer to this because it varies a lot from model to model, car to car, and device to device. But if we were to answer this question generally, I would say that, you know, the ICE cars, the value that we can get as a business is about roughly about one-third of a value of an EV. And hybrid in some cases can be even higher than the EV itself or could be maybe marginally lower or around that number. So it's actually the ICE cars that have a lower value. But then some of our products and some of the capabilities that we've recently added for making resistors, some of these really small ones, we have opportunities of supplying into other parts of a car which are valid for both EVs or all three, EVs, hybrids or ICE cars, which are things like, you know, the power window assembly or the tailgate assembly. They all have
the power steering.
And multiple other areas in a car where, irrespective of whether it's an EV or not, the same type of components are used. So that's an added business opportunity for us, which is something which we have invested in more recent times. This recent capex that we have done, one of the main areas where we did this capex was to be able to produce these really small types of resistors for the automotive application.
Yeah, understood. Thank you very much for answering my question and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will be from the line of Prathamesh Dahake. Prathamesh, your line is now unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I'm audible.
Yes.
Could you please help me with the gross margins, maybe in steady state, in shunt auto, shunt meters and bimetals, which go in switch gears?
So in shunt, specifically, it's very tough to analyze application-wise, but I can say the ASP, based on the ASP, the gross margin in shunt in the range of 46% to 48%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shunt auto, right? And shunt meter, if we were to see?
I'm talking about in combination of both. Because.
Okay.
But if you see, it's very tough for me to, without analyzing the application, but roughly I can say there will be a difference of in the range of 7% to 10% between automotive and energy meters.
Thank you. We will now conclude with the interactive audio Q&A. For any remaining questions, feel free to get in touch with Dickinson, Shivalik's investor relations partners, or the company directly. I will now hand over to Mr. Rajiv Ranjan for closing statements. Over to you, Rajiv.
Thank you, Sandhni. Thank you all for your participation today and your trust in Shivalik as we pave the way forward with resilience and strategic foresight. Kindly reach out to Dickinson for any remaining questions and have a pleasant evening. Thank you so much.
On behalf of Shivalik, thank you for participating in our call today. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.